I love that song. It just, I don't know if you really thought about that before, just the moment that his heart started to beat again, and just that changed everything for us. And so just a reminder, on the last page of your worship folder, if you choose to follow along with the sermon in that way, there's a sermon outline found on the very last page of your bulletin. George Reeves. Some of you may know his name. Some of you are like, who on earth is that? And maybe you forgot who this was. He's one of the original actors who played Superman on TV. I have a picture of him here, just to kind of bring back memories a little bit. And as Superman, fame wasn't without risk. Every time he had this Superman suit on and wore it out in public, you know what people would do? They'd kick him. They'd hit him with the fist. They'd assault him. And not meaning any harm, but they're just trying to see his superpower strength in person. One afternoon in Detroit, it was 1953, and Reeves had his costume on, and it nearly cost him his life. He was making an appearance one day at a department store, and a young fan pulls out a loaded gun. Yes, and points it directly at his chest, at Reeves' chest. And the miracle is that he was able to talk the child down as he assures the boy that Superman certainly can withstand the shot, but the trouble is when the bullets bounce off my chest, they might hurt you and others around us here. Very smart response, right? But crazy, isn't it, that people respond to Reeves in that way, in a superhuman Superman suit this way. The suit set him apart. It set him apart from the world around him. Following Jesus sets us apart as well. We may not wear a Superman costume every day. I don't see anyone wearing theirs today. But they will tell that we are Christians by our love, right? And so we're continuing this series called Hero and looking at how Scripture sets us apart. It's like a superhero costume that we wear as we follow Jesus. We literally were told to put on Christ. And when we put on Christ, it changes us. It transforms our families, our homes, our outlooks on life forever. And so there are certain times and places that God taps ordinary men and women on the shoulder to do some extraordinary things for the sake of the gospel. And we're going to be looking at some of these men and women in these summer months in this series, Heroes in the Making. And so today we're looking at the original hero, the hero from which all others flow, where we get our power and strength as heroes to Jesus himself. The hero life is rooted in the power of the gospel, is rooted in Jesus. And so as we're stepping into this text in 1 Corinthians 2, Paul has kind of chided the church and challenged the church because of their division and lack of unity within the body of Christ. And now what he's trying to do through these letters and through these words is to bring unity within the church through the preaching of and through the shared life in Jesus. And how we'd like to say it here today, how I would say it is we're all different people. We're all different families. And the thing that brings us together is the blood of Jesus. The blood that flows from the cross flows over all of us. It's the thing that brings us, that unifies us together. Even within your own families, it's the thing that keeps you together. It's the glue. And so Paul shows how a life lived in Jesus, wearing Christ, wearing Jesus, how life lived in the gospel, in this word, changes us, changes our families. It changes who we are as people of God. And so there are some things that as we live this word, we're encouraged to stay rooted in. Now here, I'm from Minnesota, many of you may know, and I'm having a hard time with this sermon today because do you say rooted or rooted? So you'll just bear with me. And I'm having a mental battle in my head today, but to stay rooted or rooted in the word. Now at the time when Paul is preaching these words in 1 Corinthians to this church in Corinth, there was a group within the church, within Corinth, that was starting to gain traction and spill over into the church called the Sophists. And what the sophists were all about is what they did is they used techniques and debates and strategies and they used refined words to kind of show wisdom. Think of the sophists kind of like TED Talks today, right? You know what TED Talks are, right? It's like a person's life summarized in sort of this one talk. Their life's work all summarized in that one kind of sermon that they give. And what the sophists did, it wasn't so much of a religion, but it was more to speak convincingly, to speak wisdom. And it was a focus on wisdom. And there was a common view at the time that the more wisdom that you had, the more spiritual that you were. You see the trouble with this? Because you could talk very eloquently. You could talk the talk, but was it grounded in the Word? Was it leading people closer to Jesus? And this way of thinking was starting to spill over into the church. Groups were forming around which teacher they thought was more spiritual than the other. And the church leaders had followers. And sometimes you see today, sometimes people follow certain pastors within certain churches, right? And so Paul even goes so far as to say in 1 Corinthians 1, I follow Paul, some follow Apollos, and others follow Cephas. But Paul points to his preaching, that it's not showy like the sophists, but he's pointing really to Jesus throughout it all. As he says in 1 Corinthians 2, I'll start, I invite you to join with me in just a moment, where Paul says, and I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. Let's join together. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus and Him crucified. So what did Paul come to do? He didn't come with those eloquent, flowery words with a TED Talk speech. He came pointing people to Jesus. It wasn't the words that he said. He didn't say rooted or rooted. He pointed people to Jesus because he knew that Paul's strength wasn't found in his words. The strength of what he brought to them was found in the gospel, in the Word of God. It was found in the relationship that they had with Jesus that spilled over then into the relationship that they had with others. Because there's a connection with the relationship that we have with God that impacts the relationship that we have with others. We're not perfect. We bump into each other from time to time. We're sinners, after all, right? Even in churches, we all make mistakes. And yet Jesus is the glue that keeps us all together. Rooted in the Word is vital. Secondly, rooted in weakness. And we're sinners. And Paul chose not to use the words of persuasion of the time, which he certainly could have. You know, he didn't want people to focus on the words, on him, but on the message that he brought. As he says in Romans 1, as we shared in the children's message a little bit ago, let's read it together. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And so Paul argues it's not the pastor or the message preached that brings the power of God. No, it's the gospel. The gospel is the thing that changes. The Word is the thing that changes us. And as we can find in these places, as we find ourselves rooted in the Word, that there is strength in times of weakness. For when I was weak, then I am strong, right? And so the language that Paul spoke was all about Jesus. It dripped Jesus. It oozed Jesus. Every single word, every thought, every action points to Christ. It was his strength, the kind of the outfit that he wore, he put on Jesus. Well, there was a mother mouse, who felt it was time to introduce her small little mouse children to the world. And so she gathers her children together to go out for a walk, and they're walking down the hall of the house, and they make a right, and they go down the hall, they make another right, and they come to a cat. These little mice, sleeping in the sun, and the mom was scared for a moment, but she didn't want her children to see that fear that she had. And so she crept forward very slowly. And just as they're about to pass the cat's eyes open. And the cat raises its paw, and right before the paw comes down to get the whole family, the mom looks the cat right in the face and starts to bark like a dog. The cat was so scared, it jumps to its feet. As the mom said, children, sometimes it's good to know a second language. So, what is our second language? It's the gospel. It's the word, the language that we use. It's a place that we're rooted. Paul finds his strength in Jesus. He certainly faced hard times. I mean, he was in prison. I mean, prison isn't one of those like bucket list kind of things that everyone strives for. No. Paul finds strength in Jesus, which pours out through every word we find in his letters, every thought, every action. The question then becomes for us today, where does our power come? When we face times of weakness, when we face our cat in this world today, places we get knocked down, our shins kicked, at times we all face a cat. Every one of us, I love cats by the way, so don't get me wrong. But there are times when the cat stares us down and we don't know which way to turn. Where is your cat? And when we face those moments, we need to do what Paul does, to find our life rooted in Christ, in Jesus' weakness. Because when we look to the cross and Jesus' ultimate place of weakness, we find our strength. And so thirdly, rooted in mission, this hero life. You know, from the start, Jesus' mission is clear, right? To save the world, he came to seek and to save that which is lost. As followers, Jesus has given us the same mission. And we're given the same mission to be the way for someone else. That's last week's message. If you haven't had a chance to listen to that, I'd encourage you to go back and take a listen. To be a way for someone else. As Acts 4 reminds us, there is salvation in no one else. Let's read together. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. There is salvation found in nowhere else but in Jesus, in His Word. And here at Blessed Savior, we have those four G's that really describe who we are as a church. It's kind of taking the Great Commission, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's taking that Great Commission and boiling it down into four action words. And here at Blessed Savior, we have four of them. And this is a little test. Do you remember what those four G's are? Four words are. If you don't know what those four words are, a little hint, they're in your worship folder. If you look at the kind of the outline of the service is broken down into those four G's. Gathering, glorifying, giving, and going. It's who we are as a church. We are here to gather as the body of Christ, to glorify Him, to worship Him, to point people to Jesus, to live in Jesus, to be a giving of our lives, time, talent, and treasure, to be sacrificial, and ultimately to be going, to make a difference in our community for the sake of Jesus. It's why we're here. And these G words describe the why of who we are as the body of Christ. And so this word is life, right? The power of the gospel is undeniable. And that's the fourth, the rooted word. We're rooted together as the body of Christ. It's Jesus' blood that unifies us. It's the gospel that ties us together. And I'm sure we've all seen lives, and maybe even our own lives, that have been transformed by the gospel, the word that connects us together. You know, I read somewhere that Superman gets his powers from the sun. I don't know if you knew that or not, but ours, where does our power come from? From the word, through the sacraments, the body and blood of Christ. And then out of this place, out of the word and sacrament, comes our body together, the community that we share as the body of Christ. Well, comedian David Brenner used to talk about Superman in the movies. And so picture just probably most any Superman comic or movie, a Superman confronting a bad guy. And the bad guy fires a gun at Superman, you know, bang. And Superman, usually what does he do next? He kind of smirks. He throws out his chest and the bullets go bouncing just harmlessly off of his body to the ground. But do you notice what happens next? Brenner goes on to say, and then the guy who runs out of bullets, you know what he does? He throws the gun at Superman. And Superman ducks. Think about that for a moment. He ducks. Bullets bounce off of him. But when a gun is thrown at him, he ducks. Superman is one of the greatest heroes of all time. A mysterious visitor from another planet, Krypton. Kind of sounds a little bit familiar, doesn't it? Who comes to this earth to save us. He becomes a hero for the world, the universe, for creation itself. Jesus himself, as our Superman, could have easily ducked his mission. He could have easily said, you know, that cross doesn't look like it's going to be very fun. I'm going to just stay home today. No, he doesn't. In his weakness, on a cross, we find our strength. Not with big words that he speaks from the cross or Paul speaks through one of his letters, but he comes as a hero. He comes to save the world with wood and with nails. Jesus, he didn't duck from the cross, but he takes it head on. And so it's an opportunity for us as we walk through this series together to look to the true Superman, Jesus, where Superman, the human, says up, up, and away, while Jesus says down, down, to stay. The real man of steel is Jesus, who took metal in his hands, the nails, for you and me. He doesn't leave us. He never once ducks away from the cross and the hard things. But he takes every blow for us. He faced our cat, death itself, and wins through a cross and through a tomb, as Paul reminds us in another one of his letters to Corinth. Let's read these words together. He was crucified in weakness, but lives by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but in dealing with you, we will live with him by the power of God. We live in the weakness of Christ, and in his weakness, it is our strength, right? We want up, up, and away. We want to fly over the troubles and challenges of this world. We want to avoid facing the cats in life, the job stresses, the family issues, just the stresses in life. And yet Jesus is down, down to stay. The power to face these moments comes through Jesus. You know, George Reeves had to take the Superman suit off at the end of the day to go home. It was just a prop, right? And yet when Jesus comes, he doesn't put on a costume. He puts on real human flesh. For you and me and all creation, he came all the way down into your weakness, down into your mess, down into your pain as he comes to stay. Because of this, we can stop trying to fly above it, to face your cat, and to get rooted in the dirt of the cross. And when you are rooted in Jesus, you don't have to be bulletproof. Because just know, you are held by the one who came down, down to stay. Father, we come before you, and we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for just who he is and what he has done for us. He isn't just a storybook comic hero, but he is the true Superman in life. The power of the gospel flows through him into us. A word that is transforming inside and out. It is the power to save. And we have experienced that word as we follow Jesus And as we do continue to follow you, Father, help us to stay rooted in your word, rooted in those places of weakness, rooted in mission, and rooted in the body itself, your body, which we find our life in here today. And so, Father, thank you for this opportunity to be reminded of who we are in you, that you have come down to stay with us. In your name we pray. Amen.